All right, good morning.
Once again, it's my privilege to stand before you and speak to you this morning. It's my hope and prayer that everything that I say will be in accordance with God's will. As Brother Joe always prays in his prayers, I don't want to substitute my will for God's will. I want to stand before you and preach what's in the Bible. And that is my fervent prayer this morning. Once again, we'd like to welcome our visitors and welcome you back at each and every opportunity that you have. If you would, get your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? The word checkup is a popular word in our vocabulary. Our cars need checkups from time to time. Our houses need termite checkups ever so often. Our bank books need checkups. If we don't balance our checkbooks every month, first thing you know, you'll be getting something from the bank saying that you're overdrawn, or you wrote a check that you don't have the money to cover. Many times the law checks up on people. A general medical examination is known as a checkup. But there's also a need for a spiritual checkup. As we just read in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, it said, examine yourselves to see that you're in the faith. On a scale from 1 to 100, what is your spiritual temperature? Have you ever felt like you were losing your Christianity? Many Christians today are in the process of dying again spiritually. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 and 21. Well, we'll begin at verse 20. I think we'll read farther than that. Beginning at verse 20 of 2 Peter chapter 2. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. Verse 22, it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. The writer here likens someone that has known the way of righteousness and becomes entangled in the world again. He likens that to a dog returning to his vomit, and a sow, after she's been washed, returning to wallowing in the mire. That's a pretty graphic description. But there are many Christians today that are in the process of doing just that. Therefore, in the lesson this morning, I want to talk about dying. It's not a very pleasant subject, but it's a Bible subject. We must examine ourselves spiritually to be sure that we do not have any of the symptoms of dying again spiritually. There are some signs that will point out if we are in trouble spiritually. These are like the seven danger signs of cancer. The seven danger signs of cancer are any unusual bleeding or discharge from the body openings, a lump or thickening in the breast, a sore that does not heal, persistent change in bowel or bladder habits, persistent hoarseness or cough, lasting indigestion or difficulty in swallowing, and any change in a wart or mole. Cancer is a deadly disease. It's a dreaded disease. But my friends, there's something that's even worse than that, and that's dying again spiritually. This morning I want to share 7 danger signs of dying again spiritually. This is far more serious than physical cancer. As children of God, we must be careful about our spiritual health. The following signs can help us to know if we are dying spiritually, even after we've been born again. Turn with me to John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. John 3, verses 1 through 5. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." When we became a Christian, we were very zealous. We wanted to go out and tell the whole world, "I became a Christian." But then a lot of times as we grow older, as we should be getting more zealous, sometimes we seem to lose our spirituality. We seem to lose our Christianity. Let us study this morning the 7 danger signs of dying spiritually. The first danger sign is that the story of the cross no longer moves you. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. "For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed Jews ask for a sign and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." You know, there are a lot of people in the world that don't believe in the story of the cross. You know, I preached on the crucifixion last Sunday. If that story doesn't move you, there's something wrong. If the fact that Jesus came to this earth from heaven and he died on that cruel cross of Calvary for each and every one of us, if that doesn't move you, we need to examine ourselves. To some, it's foolishness, but it's God's power unto salvation. Romans 1, verse 16. You obeyed the gospel because the story of the cross moved you. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. The story of the cross must continue to motivate us, just as it did when we became a Christian. The Lord's Supper, we just partook of the Lord's Supper just a few minutes ago. It helps us to remember the fact that Jesus Christ died for us, that through His blood we might have a hope of redemption when this life is over. The story of the cross from Isaiah 53 moved the eunuch in Acts the 8th chapter. We all know the story of the eunuch. We talked briefly about it the last Wednesday night that we had Bible class. He was reading from Isaiah, and Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except someone teach me?" At that point, Philip got in the chariot with him, and he preached unto him Jesus. When they came to a certain water, the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you may." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God." He preached unto him Jesus. If you preach unto somebody Jesus, you have to preach the story of the cross. For many, the story of the cross has become nothing more than academic knowledge. For a lot of people, they get bored when the story of the cross is preached on. They've lost all the excitement. They can't weep over Calvary. If the story of the cross no longer moves you, it's a danger sign. The second danger sign is that you've left your first love. Turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We obey the commands of Jesus because we love him. This was true in the beginning of our Christian life. It should be true now. We shouldn't have the attitude that, "Well, this is what I got to do because I want to go to heaven. This is what I got to do because that's what the Bible says." We should do it because we love Jesus. He loved us so much that He gave His only life. He gave His life on the cross of Calvary for us. We should obey His commands because we love Him. For many, though, today they no longer move out of love. Like the church at Ephesus, they've left their first love. Revelations 2, verse 4. A lot of people today are just serving out of habit. They go to church on Sunday morning because that's what they've done all their life. They go to church on Sunday night because it's just what you do. If you have left, or if you're in the process of leaving your first love, you're in a very serious spiritual trouble. It will take great honesty of the heart to admit this, though. But the bottom line is, our salvation depends on it. We must not fool ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. If we have left or are leaving our first love, we need to do something about it this morning. The third danger sign is that church services bore you. Do you feel like you just can't wait for the dismissal prayer? Many feel this way every time they go to services. A lot of times people say, I just don't seem to be getting anything out of services. I don't seem to be getting anything out of going to church. Like the Jews of old, they cry, when will the Sabbath be over? You know, this is football season. 12 o'clock, there'll be football games on. A lot of people today, they sit there in church and they say, well, I hope this preacher hurry up. Cowboys play at 12. Or the Saints play at 12. I hope he hurries up so I can see the first kickoff. If that's your attitude, you're in danger. Sadly to say that there are some who don't like to stay for a baptism at the end of services. There'll be some that try to slip out. Some will sit there all red-faced because you're getting into their time. You know, when someone comes forward at the end of services to be baptized or be restored, it should be a happy time. It should be a joyous time. The Bible tells us that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Why can't we rejoice for it? The fact that some people don't get anything out of services or the services bore them, they seem to blame it on the preacher. He's just not interesting, they complain. Well, you know, I'm probably not interesting. But you know what? You get into service, you get out of service what you put into the service. If you come to the services with the right attitude, and that attitude is to worship God, it doesn't matter how boring the preacher is. You should be able to walk away from the services being edified and being lifted up. If church services bore you, then you are or may be dying spiritually. The fourth danger sign is you don't have any interest in saving souls anymore. Perhaps at one time you had that desire to save souls, but through the years just something happened to it. You haven't taught the gospel in years. A lot of Christians today act as though they're ashamed of the gospel. Have you ever seen a Christian, when somebody asks them, where do you worship? Oh, I worship at Joaquin Church of Christ. We should boldly proclaim that we're a member of the Lord's church. We should be proud to stand up and say, I'm a Christian. I worship at Joaquin Church of Christ. But there are people today that they seem like they're ashamed of it. Some think that it's the job of the preacher or the elders to save souls. They have an attitude of, let the preacher do it. That's what he's getting paid for. Some people won't lift a finger to tell friends or family members about the church, about the gospel. This is not a Christ-like attitude. When we read the Bible, when we read about the life of Christ, He taught everywhere He went. And every opportunity that we have to teach someone, we should seize that opportunity. If we don't seize that opportunity, if we don't teach people that we have a chance to teach, we're going to stand before God one day and give account of that. As I said earlier, angels rejoice in heaven when a sinner repents. So should we. It's a warning sign if you don't like to see the saved lost, the lost saved. The fifth danger sign is that things of the world attract you. It's possible for one to let the things of the world lead him away from the Lord. We've all seen this happen. Turn with me to Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. Luke chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. The things of this world can tempt us. We're tempted by the things of this world every day. Satan knows what our weaknesses are, and he preys on those weaknesses. Turn with me to James, the 1st chapter, verses 14 through 17. James chapter 1, 14 through 17. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Each man is tempted and drawn away by his own lust. Satan knows what those temptations are, and he preys on those temptations every day. We must present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Colossians 1, verses 11 through 13 tells us that we are called out of darkness into light. If you are worldly to the extent that the things of this world satisfy you, you're in serious spiritual trouble. You're dying spiritually if you find satisfaction in the things of the world. And we must flee this trap. The sixth danger sign is that you're fooling yourself. The most deadly cancer is the cancer that's undetectable. The Christian can fall into the trap of thinking that all is well. But the Bible tells us we must take heed lest we fall. There are some that think God is too loving to punish their little sins. I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible doesn't say anything about little sins and big sins. It says things about sin. This attitude is wrong when viewed in light of plain Bible passages. The Bible tells us that God must punish the evildoer. Doesn't say he's going to punish those who do the real bad things. It says he's going to punish the evildoer. Some have the attitude, well, I'm better than old so-and-so over here. Just because I think I'm better than so-and-so over here doesn't mean that I'm living my life well enough to make it to heaven. You know, as we talked about in the class this morning, it is each of our opportunities to save ourselves. I can't save any of you in here. You can't save me. It's up to me to do what the Bible says in order for me to gain salvation. When we stand before God, we're going to give account of what we've done. What we've done in this body. It doesn't matter what old so-and-so did over here. When I stand before God, it matters what I did. A person is dying to the extent that he's trying to fool himself that all is well when he knows it's not. The last danger sign is that we fail to do what we know we should do. Most Christians are very familiar with God's will for their life. God's will for my life is the same as His will for every one of you. It's His will that we all be saved. It's His will that we all come to repentance. You know, I hear people all the time on TV, well, God led me to this job, or I've got this car because God blessed me with it. God doesn't care what kind of job I have as long as that job is a law-abiding job. He doesn't care what kind of car I drive. He doesn't care how big a house I have. His will for me is that I be saved. His will for you is that you be saved. Yet there are some that drift from day to day without doing God's will. You might ask why. Well, many are planning to get involved tomorrow. Have you ever talked to somebody about Christ and they tell you, I don't have time for Christ right now. I don't have time for God right now. I'll do it tomorrow. I've had them say that. I don't have time for God in my life right now. You know, that's sad. That's real sad when somebody will blatantly tell you, I don't have time for God. There are many Christians that drift from day to day without doing God's will. They're planning on getting involved tomorrow. James wrote, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4 verse 17. Many know that they need to respond or make their life right, but they just won't or don't. Many know that they need to give more, but they don't. It's a danger sign to fail to do what you know should be done. Now, these are only 7 signs of dying spiritually. Do you have any of these? Do you have some that weren't mentioned? The most deadly cancer sometimes doesn't have any signs until it's too late. This morning I want you to be honest with yourself. Psalms 85 and verse 6 says, wilt thou not revive us again? You know, we sing a song often, revive us again. Do you need reviving this morning? Are you in danger of dying spiritually? Only you know this answer. Yeah, I don't know the hearts and minds of anyone in here.
But I do know this. If you need to respond this morning, now's the time to do it. Today is the day of salvation. We have no assurance of tomorrow. But there is assurance of this. When you walk out that door this morning, you can know that you're saved. Are you saved this morning? If not, why not? Are you a Christian this morning? If you're not, why not come forward here in just a few minutes when we stand and sing the song? Repenting of your sins, confessing Christ before men, and being buried with Him in baptism, rising to walk in newness of life. Have you done that in the past? And maybe you've died spiritually? You can revive that this morning. Like I said, I don't know the hearts and minds of any. If there's anyone here this morning that's subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come. While together we stand and sing the song of invitation.
The great physician now is near.
The sympathizing Jesus, He speaks a drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus,
sweetest song.